Trent Williams, after hinting at possible retirement, said for sure he's coming back in 2023. All that and more coming up on today's live edition of Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online, available to people worldwide. And they have a special offer for our listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. Great news, Croc. There was a little ominous comment from Trent Williams after a grueling season, after the NFC Championship loss, that maybe he was starting to consider retirement. And this is a guy that's deep into his 30s now, has played a lot of football, has had a lot of injuries over the course of his long, illustrious career. It hasn't slowed him down as far as his ability as a player. He's the best left tackle in the NFL right now. And the 49ers are extremely lucky to have him. But, and they're paying him accordingly, by the way. We're going to talk a little bit more about the exact position group of the offensive tackles and where some money is going right now for the 49ers in 2023. But he said for sure he is not leaving just yet. He will not retire for the 2023 season. But Crockett, first of all, that's great news for the 49ers this coming year. But then you start to say, okay, they might have to start making some preparations for a post Trent Williams world sometime soon. That might be the very next season in 2024.
You thought he might need some time in the offseason to really kind of find out, man, do I really want to go through this again? And I guess only a few days was all he needed to say, nah, I want to get back out there with my brothers. And it is a guy that is aging but still playing at an extremely high level. So 49ers having him coming back, I think that's huge, especially in a draft or offseason where you don't have a ton of draft picks to be able to throw at high caliber prospects at the tackle position.
Trent Williams, I just started thinking more this week about some of my favorite Trent Williams moments. And one of them that will always stick with me was in that game. Unfortunately, the way the game went for the 49ers in the NFC Championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously that was just an unfortunate event. It was I loved hearing Matt Maiocco this week talk about that game. He said it was legitimately the worst football game he's ever watched, because of how everything went down there. Not from a rooting standpoint, just because it was a non-competitive game. One team didn't have a quarterback. The only thing I can think of is that Kendall Hinton game during the COVID year with the Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
Wide receiver had to play quarterback, but at least they prepared pregame for that to be the case. They lost all
their quarterbacks. It was still sad, though, watching.
It was really
like he completed like two passes.
Yeah, it was bad. Or for the 49ers, probably that Chicago Bears game, Cody Pickett was quarterback and the wind was blowing so hard. Remember, they would throw the ball and it would just go, whoosh. But that was for both teams. Neither team could really throw the ball, neither team could kick the ball. Right. That was a wild one. That was also
the championship game was extremely one-sided.
Oh yeah. That was that one team was having not as many problems as the other. That's for sure.
Right.
But just watching Trent Williams and his strength, when he decided that scuffle was going to be over, or at least that one part of the scuffle was going to be over, and he wanted that dude off his dude, grabbing him by the back of his neck and just yanking him to the ground to where dude all of a sudden is looking up at the sky and his legs are pointing up in the air. It was cartoonish, and I'll never forget the way that looked. And obviously it got ugly and you don't want that to happen. And people started throwing blows and getting ejected. And he got a nice little $12,000 fine for that, by the way, this week, but still it's just sort of like a show of his strength. And it's something I will never forget about Trent Williams. And it might be one of the lasting images I think of when I think of Trent Williams. And certainly it's the most recent.
And how he defends his teammates. You know, there are a lot of people talking about Trent Williams and what he did. And, oh, I can't believe he did that. And, oh, this is just a terrible play by him. And it's like, do you guys not see what these Eagle players are doing to his teammates? One guy is going at it with Brandon Ayuk, grabbing him by the face mask, stuff like that. And then he kind of goes around and he goes and he's getting in Deebo Samuel's grill. And by the end of it, Trent Williams is like, all right, enough is enough. and he throws a guy down, and because of how it looked, everybody wants to paint him to be the bad guy when all he was doing was protecting his little brothers. So he got fined for it, and it's like, you're not going to find the guy that was going from player to player, getting in their face, grabbing them by their face mask, but you want to grab the guy that really kind of stopped the whole thing? Get out of here, man.
No, I totally agree with you. And the dude instigating got his. And it's funny because that's what everyone will remember of. That was Kevon Wallace, right? Is that who it was?
I don't even know.
When you think of Eagles number 42, that guy, you're just going to think of the dude who's laying on his back with his legs sticking up in the air. You know what I mean? Yeah. So a fine would be rough on top of that for him. So, and I'm sure Trent Williams had no problem paying that.
Debo is like Trent Williams, literally like his little brother.
Yeah.
They hang out together. They're always around each other. Like that. If you're going to mess with any 49er, Debo, that should be like the last player because Trent Williams is coming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, so clearly the 49ers will very likely have to start thinking that they might need and very likely could need a starting left tackle, a new starting left tackle in, say, 2024 and beyond. The 49ers currently have their starting left tackle or starting right tackle, Mike McGlinchey, hitting free agency. And looking at some of these free agent lists, PFF had Mike McGlinchey as a top 10 free agent in the NFL, the number one tackle in the league available in free agency. And there's 49ers fans that think Mike McGlinchey is trash. So you think you're going to get an upgrade over Mike McGlinchey? That'd be great, but that is not an easy thing to find. Every team in the league needs offensive linemen. So many teams need offensive tackles, and they get paid a lot of money. So the 49ers are going to have to pay a lot probably to bring McGlinchey back, even if he gives them a little hometown discount. But there's going to be competitors out there that are willing to pay Mike McGlinchey. And if you do let Mike McGlinchey walk, you're going to be paying a lot for another guy who might not be any better, and you don't have a top draft pick. You know, you're not picking until pick 100, basically. The 49ers will find out exactly where those comp picks are going to be, but you know, 99, 100, 102, that's where they're going to be picking. It's hard to find starting tackles there, and the 49ers have done an awesome job in late rounds. Maybe they can pluck another fifth round star that's an offensive tackle, right? But that's easier said than done. And so you might be looking at Colton McKivitz if they can't find money for McGlinchey or another free agent. You might be looking at I have no idea. Just a lower level free agent right tackle, if that's the case. Daniel Brunskill, I don't know. Does Spencer Burford kick out to right tackle? And then the next offseason, you might need to find a left tackle, right? So offensive tackle is to me, clearly need number one for the San Francisco 49ers going into the 2023 offseason.
You know, there's a saying in the coaching world, it's never as good as you think it is, it's never as bad as you think it is, as it pertains to what you're going to see on film. Because a lot of times you just remember these specific plays and specific moments that make you think the game went one way or the other. But more times than not, it's not exactly what you're thinking. And I think that's definitely the case when it comes to Mike McGlinchey. Everybody, they'll always kind of point out that game where he just gets thrown to the ground. And it happens. We saw it happen in the Cowboys game with Michael Parsons. There's been missed blocks here and there, of course. So I think everybody has labeled him just this terrible tackle. And I've said, like, he's far from terrible. He's had some moments. We got on him one time. I gave him the opposite of a game ball for jumping off sides or multiple false starts, right? But overall, the game isn't played in one or two plays. And those are the times you notice him. There are 50 to 60 other plays that you don't notice that he's not an issue on and or getting overpowered on. So another team will see that and say, hey, there's a time where he might get bullied. There might be a time where he whips on the block because he's tall and maybe doesn't move his feet well. But on the 65 other plays, we know he's going to be a better right tackle than, you know, 15 other starting tackles in the league. And that's how you kind of got to view it. And he's going to make some big money.
Yep. And, you know, he has been a better run blocker than a pass blocker. But, you know, that happens. And a lot of guys, why they end up on the right side of their offensive lines is because they are better run blockers than pass blockers. And Caleb McGarry is a name that I've seen come up, who's a free agent from who's at the Atlanta Falcons, who kind of struggled a little bit earlier in his career, had a really good year this last year, but he's got the exact same profile, better run blocker than a pass blocker. And he's going to make quite a bit of money too. In the chat here, BSE mentions Billy Turner and Kelvin Beachum, a couple of veteran offensive tackles that wouldn't wow anybody, but, you know, at least they've started games in the NFL. Juwan Taylor, another guy who's been sort of a slow starter in his career, but a high draft pick. I think he was the first pick in the second round. A lot of people thought he'd be a high first round pick when he was coming out for the Jaguars a few years ago. So there are some names out there and there are some options. How much can the 49ers spend is a big question because they're already spending so much on Trent Williams. Trent Williams has the number one cap hit on the 49ers roster. It's around almost $28 million. In fact, the 49ers, Krug, have $100 million in cap numbers from five players, their top five players, which is Trent Williams, Arik Armstead. Both those guys well over 20 mil. They've both been restructured, I believe, to create past cap room, which makes them more expensive now. So that's what happens there. There is Kittle, Warner, their new deals are big, and those dollars are starting to really hit now on the cap. And then Nick Bosa, even with his fifth-year option, is a pretty big number. He's going to get a new contract this offseason, actually could lower his cap number with the new deal because the base salary could be low and pushing the amortized bonuses into future years to make that even a little bit lower. But, you know, we're talking $100 million for the top of your roster there. It's hard because that's you know, almost half your roster with just a few star players, and you've got to still build the rest of it. So can you continue to pay all the other guys? You're paying Christian McCaffrey, $12 million. He might get a restructure, but then again, what we've seen with some other players, it starts to make him more expensive later. And to be honest with you, Kroc, we talked about this a little bit. Christian McCaffrey, his agent might come and say, hey, Mike, don't talk about a restructure for my client. Let's talk about a raise for my client.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have any guarantees. You're not paying him any guarantees, you know? So interesting the way this roster is built and how they will address those things. And of course, Kroc and I are going to go deep on every single position. Talk about the free agents that the 49ers have in-house, the free agents that are out there for the 49ers. We'll be talking a lot of draft, of course, as we get toward April as well. So tons of, you know, all of that roster building stuff. That's what the offseason's all about that we'll be getting into every day here on Locked On 49ers. If you had to guess, Kroc, do you get the feeling that McGlinchey's coming back? Because I know the 49ers like him, and the 49ers really do try to pay their own. I have a feeling they're not just going to say, he's going to make too much and probably going to have to walk and we'll go somewhere else. I think there'll be a legitimate offer, at least for Mike McGlinchey.
I think there will be an offer. Will the offer be enough? And I think that's the biggest question. And that's going to be tough because I think it's going to be hard to fathom how much money he'll get paid on the open market. Like there will be a team that pays him top dollar or close to it for an offensive tackle.
Yeah, you get the feel. Yeah, because it's like the perfect combination of you're an offensive tackle. It's a position of need for a lot of teams around the NFL. He was a top 10 draft pick, you know, played for a winning franchise. A lot of people run a similar offense. So it might be one of those situations where if he does end up walking, people are going to look at what he got and go, whoa, Mike McGlinchey got that? Kind of like, remember DJ Jones? Like, this is a nose tackle. He got a pretty decent chunk last year from the Broncos. It's like, whoa, okay, I didn't know DJ Jones was in that much demand, and he got quite a bit of money. And then that's what can happen when teams start bidding against each other in free agency. Kroc, next, I want to talk a little bit about Brock Purdy and what's going on there, and the fact that there's nothing going on right now with Brock Purdy, which is a little bit weird. The clock is ticking on Brock Purdy's rehab to get back and play. But he's got a really serious decision to make right now, and he's taking his time doing it. That next, of course, we'll get into the chat as well on this edition of Locked On 49ers, which is brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy. You know, life doesn't come with a user's manual, and it would be really nice if it did sometimes. And it doesn't always have to be some major life event that you're struggling getting through. Sometimes it's just the day to day. It's the way things add up. It's just navigating yourself through your week. And that's where therapy can really help. Make sure you're hitting your points that you want to hit every single week. And you're checking in with that therapist every single week and make sure you are doing what you need to do to get you through the ups and downs and the pathways. And that's basically what that therapist is doing for you, is acting as a helpful hand through that navigation of a user's manual of what we go through every day in life. It's normal to feel a little bit stuck at times. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills. And when you learn those productive coping skills and start fixing problems yourself, it is super rewarding. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, accessible anywhere, and 100% online. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. BetterHelp can get you there and get you unstuck. So get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/lockedon. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedon. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We're super excited about our new sports betting partner because it's the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. Locked On is super excited with this partnership. It's the sports book of the NFL, the official sports book of the NFL, now the official sports book of FanDuel. And if you download FanDuel now, get that no sweat first bet for Super Bowl 57. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win with that no sweat first bet for Super Bowl 57. FanDuel lets you bet on everything. Of course, there's point spreads for the Super Bowl, money lines. There is, you know, who scores the first touchdown. So many prop bets for the Super Bowl, NFL draft prop bets, which are some of my favorite things to bet on throughout the year. And of course, you know, it's almost tourney time in college hoops, tons of ways to have fun betting on sports at FanDuel. Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. I love using the app. It's easy to navigate, build your own parlays at FanDuel. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right. I asked the question this weekend on Twitter, Croc, about if it's starting to feel a little weird that we don't have any answers for Brock Purdy about what's going on with that surgery. He hasn't had his surgery yet. There's been no reports of which exact surgery he's going to have, because it seemed like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were pretty convinced they knew exactly what it was going to be, exactly what the timeline was going to be. And Kyle Shanahan talked about, you know, maybe start throwing it 4 months, and by 6 months, he should be pretty good and ready to go. But Brock Purdy is getting a second opinion, and that second opinion is continuing, right? And who knows when that surgery is going to happen, when the decision will be made, if it's already been made, we don't know about it. But generally, when the agent knows, Schefter and Rap Sheet know, which means we know. So it's starting to just make me, you know, it's been over a week now. It's just starting to make me think that Brock Purdy might be considering options that weren't the 49ers' first choice, which could be potentially Tommy John. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting impatient with this whole thing, but I just feel like we would have known by now. You know, and a lot of people talked about, you know, maybe it's, you know, waiting for swelling to go down, and that could totally be it. But at the same time, if it was just waiting for swelling, we'd probably have already heard, hey, it's going to be blank surgery with Dr. James Andrews once swelling goes down, and we kind of know exactly what the score was. And we haven't really heard any of those reports yet. So do you have any thoughts on Brock Purdy's elbow, where we're at with it? And because it just feels like the longer it goes, the more likely there's just a little bit more of a possibility that it could be not the original diagnosis from the 49ers medical staff.
You know, it's funny when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, and maybe I gave Kyle too much credit. All right. And I know a lot of people feel different ways about him. Can't wait to dive into all that. But I feel like he's pretty honest when he gets up there, and even when he's reporting about injuries. And the tough thing as a coach, right? The coach, they get a sheet of paper. All right. They get a sheet of paper with the injuries and they'll ask a question to the doctor, right? All right, what's the timetable on this? Okay. And then they just report what has been told to them. So I think between Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they are telling you when they go up there, and they're like, oh, 6 months, should be clean, blah, blah, blah. That's what's going to happen. That's what someone has told them. And we heard that Brock Purdy would be getting second opinions or third opinions. And it seems like he's doing that. He's taking his time with that. I am wondering, like you, is he doing that? Because there is a thought that maybe Tommy John is the better way to go. And you never know what the doctor is saying. I know I text people, listen, I ain't no doctor. But I've had some people text me, and I say, you think it could be Tommy John? They're like, I think he's going to get Tommy John surgery. And we're talking about like people in the medical field. So we'll see who's right on this. Is it the initial diagnosis from Kyle Shanahan and his crew, or is it what I've been hearing? But it's something where if you're Brock Purdy, you do need to take time with this because we're talking about your future. And we also have talked about how guys, and I get it, he played extremely well, but seventh round picks, the less amount that a team invests in you, you don't get as many opportunities. So when you're at that seventh round pick, yeah, you finish strong, but they kind of don't wait for the moment something goes sideways, they'll move on from you. So I don't expect them to do that. Everyone loves Brock Purdy. We hear how the players talk about him, but those are things that you have to take into consideration when you're getting a surgery like this and wondering, you know, what will he be when he comes back? Sounds like he'd be great, but there are a lot of question marks. And this weight right now, I'm with you. It's a little weird.
Yeah, I did hear from a lot of Twitter doctors, some of them actual doctors, and I've got some good information here to relay from some of those and some others that were just like, yeah, one dude was he's like a security guard in front of a hospital, and he was trying to tell me, you know, what the rules were for surgery and what exactly was going to happen and what days you can have surgery on and what days you can't. And it's like, all right, thanks, dude, for that. But real quick in the chat, because I heard a couple of interesting interviews recently on local radio. One was George Contos, former San Francisco Giants pitcher. And he talked about how things could be strengthened around the arm and how the reason why some guys, when they come back, and he had Tommy John surgery, the reason some guys come back stronger from Tommy John surgery is because when they're doing rehab, they make all the muscles around it stronger and their shoulder comes back stronger and everything comes back stronger. And in long term, your elbow's stronger because you have Tommy John. You graft basically Tommy John surgery, for those that don't know, is you're taking a ligament from somewhere else, a good ligament, and you're slapping it in your elbow and grafting it in there. So that's why it takes longer to recover from Tommy John, because you're putting a new ligament in instead of repairing the existing ligament that's torn. And so the 6-month recovery time that we're talking about with Brock Purdy is the surgery to repair his current ligament, because it's a clean tear. And that's a quicker recovery than grafting a new ligament from somewhere else into your elbow. But if it's, if it's a frayed and it's a ligament that's in bad shape, then Tommy John's the way to go for longevity and for long-term health of your elbow. And that ulnar collateral ligament, UCL. Yeah, we'll go with UCL. So, but Kroc, another interesting note next from a football player, the only one I know of that's had it, because this is a baseball injury and a baseball surgery. We're talking about Tommy John. So Nick Mullins had the surgery that Kyle and John were talking about at the press conference, the repair that takes 6 months. That's the one that Nick Mullins had that he hurt himself as a 49er with. But Jake Delhomme actually had the full Tommy John surgery, and he recently was on local radio talking about his recovery. So I want to get to that next, because that paints a different timeline. And I think that changes the picture after hearing him talk about it, because it's very different in recovery for a football thrower than a baseball thrower, apparently, when it comes to Tommy John surgery, and relaying some other information from some respected known doctors as well, talking about all of this stuff next. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by Blue Nile. Valentine's Day is coming up, which means romance is in the air, a little more than usual for some folks. I don't need to tell y'all lovebirds that. You've probably had your date plan on the plans and on the calendar for weeks, right? And there's probably been some hints about a little something that you could get for that special someone. But have you found the perfect Valentine's Day gift yet? It could be difficult, right? That's where BlueNile.com comes in. Whether you're celebrating this day of romance or whether you're ready to pop the question, take your relationship to the next level, you can find jewelry as unique as she is with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. And the best thing that they offer is someone there to help you 24/7 that can lead you in the right direction to find the right style of ring you want. You can choose the setting style you want. You can choose the diamond shape, the size, the clarity, and Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft that perfect piece to your specifications. Every order is insured, arrives quickly, and in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside either, and shipping is free, and so are returns. Right now, you can save up to 50% at BlueNile.com. So go find that special Valentine's gift. That's BlueNile.com for up to 50% off. BlueNile.com. All right. So, Kroc, when it comes to Tommy John surgery, I was a little bit surprised hearing Jake Delhomme talk about this because, you know, we had heard that it's different for a football thrower than a baseball thrower. But Jake Delhomme, and this is a while ago, this is over a decade ago when he had his Tommy John surgery. So I don't even know if this repair, which is kind of a newer surgery that's being done, I don't know if it was even something that was an option for him. He said, so he had it towards the end of a season. He said by April, he would have been able to play in a game. Now, he wasn't cleared to play in a game yet because he didn't have any games at that point. But he made it seem like 6 months for Tommy John, and he was going to be good to go. So I think there might be so many variables in all of this because it's such a rare surgery for a football player and a quarterback that Brock Purdy's probably got a lot of information, is trying to figure out a lot of things. He's trying to figure out what exactly the timeline is for this surgery, what exactly the timeline is for this surgery, talking to different doctors about it, talking to different doctors about which surgery it should be. And so a lot of times you get a second opinion, it should have already happened by now where it's like, okay, send the MRI to this other doctor. Within 48 hours, he looks at the MRI, he's like, yeah, I agree. And you're like, okay, cool, let's go forward with this. But maybe he's got to travel. Maybe he's got to, you know, these doctors need to put their hands on him and see how stable the elbow is. So there's so many different ways that this could be happening, and it might take a while. And of course, when you're talking about 6 months from now, training camp will already be going, and you talk about 2-3 more weeks plus that, now training camp's over. And so the timeline is really interesting here for Brock Purdy. And I don't even know what to think anymore about this, but the longer it goes, the more likely I think that it could be something like Tommy John surgery. Who knows? Maybe he's hoping he's going to find a doctor that tells him he doesn't have to have any surgery and he can just rehab it too. So it might be on the other side of things.
Yeah, that's a much faster timeline than anything I've heard. And again, I'm no doctor, but just gathering, you know, different information, I haven't heard any timeline that's that quick. But with what Kyle Shanahan said, I guess, and this wasn't Tommy John surgery, but just the total repair of it, it does sound more like that, right? Like Kyle said, in 3 months, he's ready to throw. Like the buildup starts in 3 months, not a six-month rehab, and then at 6 months, now he has to build up to be able to throw. It sounded like at 3 months, he's ready to throw, and then they do, you know, stuff to kind of build him up to where, boom, 6 months, you are ready to throw a football. And maybe that's what he's talking about. But again, Tommy John, everything I've heard, it's a longer process. So that's interesting. And you would think, especially like now, right, like more modern medicine or whatever, the surgeries now, you would think that the recovery process is faster than in the past. So yeah. Listening to Jake Delhomme on that, that's a little – it should be encouraging, you know, if that's what you're hearing, if you're Brock Purdy or Kyle Shanahan. But I don't know. And also if you say 6 months, recovery, I mean, each week, you know, that goes by on this, you're pushing it back further and further. So I think I was listening to Haberman and Middlecoff, and they talked about last week, if he had got the surgery on like Tuesday, then he would have been ready to go by August 1st, which essentially is the start of training camp.
Yeah.
But the longer you push this out, right, the more weeks that go by, you're pushing it out further and further to where will he not be ready until the first preseason game? And then do you just throw him out there? And then all those kind of, you know, questions arise. So this is you want to make the right decision for you, but the longer it takes, obviously, it just changes the timeline on it all.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, okay, maybe in the end – Tommy John, I'll have a healthier elbow, less potential for this injury, maybe a little stronger elbow, but it's going to take, maybe I'll miss 3 games. But if I'm going to miss training camp anyway with the 6 month surgery, well, what's the difference? You know? So I think missing all of camp is a big window, and the whole 6 month thing is probably trying to hit somewhere in there that you're getting some preseason in before you are starting the season. Because if, let's say, the day that Brock Purdy gets cleared is after the preseason but before week one, you just got to throw him up. Oh, there we go. Okay, he's back. Can't lose your job to injury. Good job. You're starter, Trey Lance. You're going to sit even though you
were. Well, that's what they did this year.
Right? Well, yeah, I know.
They threw him in. All right, here you go. They threw him in there. He was ready to go. It is different going through an entire training camp and still kind of building your body up and being ready and prepared for that, as opposed to, dang, I haven't thrown a football in any type of live action in a long time. So, I mean, there's that element to it. But just in the sense of going out there, you know, if you do have to throw Brock Purdy out there, he'll be ready. I think we can all agree on that.
So very interesting stuff here. And the timeline gets more and more interesting really by the day as it pertains to Brock Purdy's recovery from his UCL surgery. And it's certainly looking like it's going to be a surgery of 6 months or potentially more, depending on if it ends up being that dreaded Tommy John. But in the end, Tommy John might not be as bad as it looks, especially compared to, I've followed baseball for a long time. And I mean, there's a million Tommy John surgeries and it's all always, you know, it's 12 to 18 months. It's, you know, it's that your season's over and the next season might be affected. But apparently with football might be a little bit different. And some information to relay from an actual doctor here, Dr. Nirav Pandya, who's a local Bay Area doctor. And he does a lot of radio stuff here locally to break down sports injuries. And he said there's only a handful of surgeons who do this surgery really in the country. And so in pro athletes, there's a lot of surgeons that do it in general, but just in pro athletes, you know, this is different. You know, when you're a quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, it's very different who you go to when you can get that surgery than if you or me and we're trying to go to the doctor and get this surgery for ourselves. He said, since a lot depends on the surgeon's assessment of the quality of the UCL during surgery, having that track record experience with other elite athletes helps. And then that's the other aspect of this, is they might expect to do the one surgery. They get in there and they're like, this is too beat up. We actually got to do Tommy John. So he might expect one and get Tommy John in the end anyway, because of what it looks like once they do get in there. So he also said it really depends on how clearly the MRI shows the degree of injury, whether or not another doctor can just look at the MRI, or if these second opinions is him flying around the country talking to doctors and they're putting their hands on him, which obviously is going to elongate the timetable of the second opinion or third or fourth opinions or however many Brock Purdy's getting. And the other note from Dr. Pandya, he is at Dr. Nirav Pandya on Twitter, by the way. Shout out to him. And we might have to have him come on to talk about this a little bit more once we know the exact surgery and what's happening there. He said, in general, quarterbacks, about why it's different than, you know, football throwers and baseball throwers with the Tommy John surgery. He said, in general, quarterbacks release the ball closer to their body than pitchers do in terms of their throwing motion. As a result, they stress their UCLs less than pitchers. More lateral release point equals more UCL strain. So baseball pitchers are like way out here when they're releasing. Football pitchers are here. So that's why there's less stress on the elbow and why it would, stress the UCL less after surgery and why it would be a quicker recovery post-surgery. So there you go. That's from the doctor's mouth. And I'm going to trust the doctors on that one.
Me too.
It's the way to go. It's definitely the way to go. This is a wild off season already though, Croc. And I can tell people are a little wound up out there. You know, the way the season ended, talking about quarterback surgeries, you know.
Did you see what Joe Montana said? I just saw Hollywood Hampton in the chat talk about Joe Montana wants Jimmy Garoppolo back. Did you see it?
I didn't hear him say anything about Jimmy. I just thought it was funny that, of course, if he's talking about Purdy or Lance, he's going to pick Purdy.
Right. Well, yeah. But he started talking about like being handed a winning roster. It almost sounded like he took a shot at Steve Young.
Oh, that's funny. So basically, yeah, like in a joking way, or was he like serious, or was he like, well, there's like, a jab at Steve Young with a smile on his face.
I don't think he really cares for Steve. I think they were teammates and, you know, but I think he looks back on that time and probably doesn't appreciate the way he was pushed out of San Francisco.
It's crazy looking back at how short his 49ers career was for how great it was too. And man, imagine social media in that day, Joe Montana and Steve Young. It would have been unbelievable. It was already unbelievable in the newspapers and, you know, at the barbershop, I'm sure. But man, I don't know. I always got the feeling there was no love lost because of how they battled back in the day, but I felt like they have a all right relationship. Like, they're not like enemies or anything like that. But I don't know. Maybe there is a little bit more to it.
It could be. It could be the fans kind of tying these things together and kind of stirring the pot a little bit. And between those two guys, it's nothing. But it just feels, and I've heard Steve Young talk about that enough to know there was some, it wasn't something he enjoyed. Just that whole dynamic.
So that is a great quote, though. And a nice little jab at Steve Young from Joe Montana. I don't even know if he realized he said it that way, or if it came off that way, or if
he didn't like, know he real. If he doesn't realize he said it that way,
yeah,
then he meant that.
That's so funny. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks everybody for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every single day. Make sure you are subscribed. Tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. Check out everything the network has to offer. Peacock and Williamson NFL show, Locked On NFL Draft, doing draft stuff all off season long. And of course, Croc and I will be back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.